Hello, you are very welcome to The Tonight Show. A political earthquake. Leo Varadkar resigns as Taoiseach and Fine Gael leader. The Taoiseach made the surprise announcement outside government buildings in an emotional farewell. He said his reasons for standing down were both personal and political.
One part of leadership is knowing when the time has come to pass on the baton to somebody else and then having the courage to do it. That time is now.
Opposition parties, however, are calling for an immediate general election.
My overwhelming sense and message from today's surprise events, the Taoiseach, outgoing himself, has now called time on the government. It's now time for an election.
I'm here live at Leinster House on a truly seismic day in politics.
Been described as a political earthquake, the decision of Leo Varadkar to step down as Fine Gael leader and Taoiseach. In an emotional speech surrounded by his cabinet colleagues on the steps of government buildings just after noon today, Mr. Varadkar said his reasons for stepping down were both political and personal.
But after careful consideration and some soul searching, I believe that a new Taoiseach and a new leader will be better placed than me to achieve that. To renew and strengthen the team, to focus our message and policies, to drive implementation. And after 7 years in office, I don't feel I'm the best person for that job anymore.
Well, let's go live to Leinster House and to join Claire Brock, who's standing by with our political correspondent Gavin Riley for more on this pretty dramatic day in politics.
Thank you, Ciara. Well, it blindsided his political colleagues within his party, within the coalition and right across the Dáil benches when the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, announced his decision to step down as the top job in the country, that of Taoiseach, and step aside as leader of Fine Gael. So many questions tonight around the timing of all of this. Where to next for the party and indeed finding a successor for Leo Varadkar. I'm joined now by our political correspondent, Gavin Riley. And Gavin, really, a political earthquake was what was being teed up as earlier on today. And when Leo Varadkar stepped down, took his place on the plinth and delivered that announcement, it came truly as a surprise to everyone.
It absolutely did. Nobody really saw this coming. Nobody thought from his behaviour. Nobody thought from his words. Even last week, only a couple of days ago, when we were talking to him in Washington about future plans, asking whether he was going to be back next year, Leo Varadkar was still very much publicly sticking to the message that he doesn't know when the next election was going to be. He hadn't planned it, but that he was going to lead Fine Gael into it. Now, here we are only a few days later, and obviously things have changed in his mind. And what makes it so remarkable is that not alone was there no leaking or no advance notice that this might be his intention, but this evening at the Fine Gael PP, it certainly seems like he's still sticking to that stance. Nobody has come out, it would seem, from that Fine Gael Parliamentary Party meeting tonight with any sense of Leo Varadkar having any other pressures on his mind, any other jobs on the line, any other general pressures upon him, other than the idea that maybe the referendum has crystallised in his mind that the party would be better off in somebody else's hands.
And Gavin, like, he talked about there never being a right time to resign from high office, but it has led to all the questions as to why, and also why now, because the timing comes at a very challenging time for the party. And there are implications, of course, with finding a new leader at this time and electing a new Taoiseach.
Yeah, well, if you were to design a timetable, if Leo Varadkar was able to start out on January the 1st and try to map out a time sometime in 2024 when he was going to hand over at the most opportune time for a success, now would probably be it. Today was his last day in the Dáil as Taoiseach. He's in Brussels tomorrow, then the Dáil's on recess, and by scheduling this leadership election for the time when the Dáil is on recess, when they come back next on Tuesday the 9th of April, they'll be in a position to elect a new Taoiseach. And even if that position is contested, as we hear it might, we might talk about that in a moment, even if it is contested, that new leader will have a two-week campaign, and then they will have 8 weeks to get themselves ready for the local and European elections. It's enough time to have an Ardèche, it's enough time to perhaps have a new leadership bounce, and then could set them in better momentum for the general election that is still within their gift to call afterwards.
OK, of course, all the opposition calling for an election now instead of this process of finding a successor and a new Taoiseach, which will be the third Taoiseach, of course, in this rotation within this coalition government. Mm. But what's happening now around that? And are there names coming forward? There's one certainly being ruled out tonight.
One certainly being ruled out is Simon Coveney, the runner-up to Leo Varadkar in 2017. He has already made clear this evening that he's had his one go at it and he doesn't intend to have another one. The speculation this evening is around Simon Harris. He has previously expressed a desire to lead the party whenever the vacancy came up. Now might be his time. We certainly expect a declaration from him. Very unlikely that he wouldn't put his hat forward, though of course nobody is officially declaring their hands this evening. The real question is whether the party will end up being divided, whether there is a contest. There is a view among many in the party that a contest would be good for them, that no matter who the leader is, they might inherit a party that looks a little bit divided, but it would reinvigorate the party, a party that which apparently has a leader who is standing down because he is a little bit jaded. It would be good for them to have the 2 weeks where they go to the country, discover their identity a little bit, and then go back to the local elections in 2 months' time and be reinvigorated. The question is, though, is it worth having a division if Simon Harris is already so popular among other TDs and senators? Because remember, it's not one member, one vote. There is a weighted vote. The parliamentary party of TDs and senators accounts for 65% of it. And if Simon Harris is overwhelmingly popular among them, then he's almost insurmountable before you get out the gate. So although many people would like for there to be a division to reinvigorate the party, many people privately wonder if it might actually be worth their while at all.
All right, Gavin, there we leave it for now. We are staying here at Leinster House and we'll be back with us in a little while on the programme. Lots to chew on there, of course, lots to discuss. We will be discussing it further with Labour and the Greens later. But back to you in studio for now, Ciara.
Thanks, Claire. Well, here in studio, I'm joined by Fine Gael TD, Emer Higgins, Sinn Féin TD, Matt Carthy, Fianna Fáil TD, Paul McAuliffe, Sunday Times columnist Alison O'Connor and Irish Independent Ireland editor Fionnán Sheehan. You're all very welcome to the programme. Fionnán, to come to you because you broke this news this morning. As Claire pointed out there and Gavin said, nobody saw this coming. And the rumour mill is usually pretty lively around announcements like this. So when did it start?
Well, he told the tarnished Micheál Martin and the Green Party leader, Eamon Ryan, last night. Throughout yesterday, there was some rescheduling going on around his diary for the rest of this week, but nothing terribly suspicious going on there. He also told Simon Coveney last night. And then this morning, from about 6 a.m. onwards, people were getting phone calls and the circle was getting wider. And around about 9 a.m, it was becoming apparent that something was happening.
As you called it, the political earthquake.
Yeah.
And it did seem to come as a shock, the timing and the surprise. But the truth of the matter is, if you've spoken to any political correspondent or anybody who's in the mix for the last year, they will say that the Taoiseach, since he came back in December 2022, he has been disengaged, hasn't he? He hasn't come back with the same energy that he had first time round.
Yeah, even some of his closest allies would say that about him, that his heart didn't seem to be in it, that the same energy that he went at it with it previously wasn't there. He did set out a kind of a personal manifesto when he took over. He spoke about the importance of housing, he spoke about tackling child poverty and so on. We didn't really see any great emphasis on these topics. There was talk then over the last 12 months about Fine Gael needing to get back to basics, rural development, law and order, emphasis on taxation. Again, there was an emphasis on taxation, but law and order went in the complete opposite direction. There was no great movement on rural development either. And probably you saw a manifestation of all this in the referendum campaign, which was so disjointed, so poorly pitched to the public in the first place. No real political nous around what this was about, what was the purpose of it, how exactly was it being sold to the people. And you got the resounding result that you got as a result of that. So you were heading in 10 weeks' time to a local European elections where basically on the European side, it was basically the extent of the party's ambition seen to be 3 seats. And up until this week, you would have said, well, you know, 2 of those could also be in danger as well. I'd say at the moment, 2 are solid, 1 is still a bit ropey. And then on the local election side for the council elections, they were looking at taking a bit of a pacing. So this issue of Leo Varadkar's leadership was going to arise in June anyway.
What is now arising, Alison O'Connor, is we had this agreement, right? There's a very unusual agreement. We hadn't seen it before in this country of this rotating Taoiseach. We had Micheál Martin and then we had Leo Varadkar. And now we're going to have a third Taoiseach in one term of government. To what extent do you think this destabilises this coalition?
Well, they're trying to send out all the signals that it won't, but it has to. Inherently, I suppose it's been a singular event in many ways, in that most people, you don't see it necessarily, but most people who leave that office are dragged kicking and screaming to some extent. So the fact that Leo Varadkar is doing it on his own terms, albeit, as Fiona said, that come June, things might have been different. So there's a lot that is different about that. But the fact that you are now going to have, there's a dynamic there between the three of them, to use a word that we've seen frequently in our public affairs, a thruple, who are very well used to living together and the habits of each other and, you know, how they operate. That's going to be very different now. I know that, you know, from the point of view of Fianna Fáil and the Greens, they've said this is a coalition of parties, not of personalities. But that's bound to be different. And you're also going to have somebody who has never been Taoiseach before, who is going to have to learn on the job in the middle of a term. There is a year left.
Max.
That's max. So I suppose on one level you can say, and it's unlikely really, even though this sort of does tend to push things out, that they would go as far as... as after Christmas next year.
Do you think this pushes it out further?
No, I'm saying that I think that I'd still kind of think in and around October or so, depending on how things are going. I think that it's risky to push it out until the very end. But the point being that Fianna Fáil and the Greens don't want to have an election soon anyway. So they all will want to make it work. So I think from that point of view, you can never tell in politics, and as we saw with the referendum 2 weeks ago, and how destabilising that has been, purely with what we see, it seems to have sort of... we're surmising this to some extent, that the Taoiseach decided, look, I'm gone, I'm leaving. So you just, my point being, you never know what's going to happen in politics, we haven't had a day like today, you know, in a very long time.
Matt Carthy, Alison saying there, look, the coalition appear to want to make this work, but the opposition calling very clearly today for a general election. They heard that call across the board. Why?
Because I think at this point, the people should decide who the next Taoiseach is rather than a small number of Fine Gael TDs and senators. Remember, going back to 2020, Fine Gael were kicked out of government. They went into the election as the largest party of government. They were returned as the third party. The suggestion that 4 years into the term, that the small number of TDs and senators that remained will be in a position to appoint and anoint somebody who has never gone before the people as a prospective Taoiseach, and based on that party's history and record of failures on the key areas of concern to ordinary people right across the country, whether it be housing, whether it be the health and disability services, whether it be their failure to address the cost of living crisis that many people are facing. Fine Gael have simply been in government for too long, and the people deserve an opportunity to pass judgment on their term in government.
They are entitled to do this. Micheál Martin says today, look, you and Sinn Féin, the opposition, you've been calling for a general election since this coalition was formed. This is nothing new.
For sure. We think this government are doing a bad job, as I say, on all the key parameters that matter to ordinary people. And yes, technically and legally, they can do this. But I think the people will be very unforgiven if they proceed along this on these bases, because I think it's clear to anybody now. And if we look at the evidence, every single year the Fine Gael are in government, the housing crisis gets worse. When Fine Gael came into government initially, Ireland had the highest rate of home ownership in the European Union. We're now at the exact opposite end of that spectrum.
All right.
And that's the legacy of Fine Gael in government.
I suppose, first of all, Eimear, if this coalition were to call an election, would Fine Gael have many people to run at this point?
Absolutely, of course we would. We've candidates up and down the country who are vying for positions on tickets.
But you've lost 10 TDs and now your leader in the Taoiseach, who is mid-office, a step down. It's not a good look for your party.
It's renewal. I actually think
it's crisis, some might say.
No, it's not crisis. It's renewal. I think it's actually a really healthy thing that we have people who have served in parties as elected TDs for decades and have decided not to put themselves forward, and that new people will come as a result of that.
Do you think
democracy in action.
Yeah,
that's democracy in action. I think it's been a really big day. Leo has given 20 years of public service to Ireland. He's spent 13 years at the cabinet table, 7 years in the office of Taoiseach Ó Tánaiste. He has made an immense contribution to our country. I've just come from parliamentary party meeting, which was quite emotional. And I think there was quite a lot of heartfelt tributes and thank yous paid to Leo.
When did you find out?
I found out today, the same as everybody else. So it was a big shock. It is a big shock for those of us in Fine Gael. But it's also an opportunity, I suppose, for us. And we had quite a positive meeting tonight. An opportunity for us to take stock of Leo's achievements in terms of steering us through Brexit, in terms of providing that essential leadership through COVID. And I think history will really judge him favourably.
OK, speaking of leadership, to the point Matt Carthy made, why should Fine Gael, this small cohort of essentially TDs and senators, because they have the majority of vote, why should they get to choose the next Taoiseach to lead this country?
The Constitution is very clear on this. TDs elect the Taoiseach. We have a duly elected Dáil. We have TDs in place. And on the 9th of April, they'll elect a new Taoiseach.
Do you think this is what the public wanted when they voted for Fine Gael? Do you think they expected to have a Fianna Fáil Taoiseach, a Fine Gael Taoiseach, and now a second Fine Gael Taoiseach?
This is democracy. This is how people
You think
voted.
This is democratic?
I do, absolutely. I do, yeah. We have duly elected. We have duly elected TDs.
Who are guts to put the prospect... To the people.
This is nothing new. This is how Leo became Taoiseach in Ireland. He took over from a Taoiseach who was elected previous to him, and the Dáil elected him.
He did, but as Alison said,
the same thing is going to happen here again.
This is unprecedented because this is a third Taoiseach in one term.
Yeah, it's unprecedented because we have a coalition of three parties, and we have a coalition where we've decided there will be Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil Taoiseachs. And that's exactly what will happen.
Let's put that record to the people to make judgment on your record in government.
That will happen. There will be an election in the next year. We know that. That will happen.
But I think I also think it's interesting. I mean, this struck me today that after, we had the two referendums and the results, then we had a break last week because the government was basically all over the world, ministers, and Matt's leader was also in the US. And I think it gave all of those parties a breather when otherwise they would have been in the Dáil, having to answer questions on that. And even now, this news today delays that in a way, and particularly, I think, for Sinn Féin, in terms of their soul searching and how they're now going to pitch themselves on all sorts of issues, and most pertinently on immigration. So I actually don't think that a general election would suit Sinn Féin right at the moment, although I can see why you're publicly calling for one.
No, I think the people are crying out for change. I think that is evident. And I think political parties, regardless of what challenges we may have or what difficulties with leadership or candidates deciding not to put their names forward again, have a responsibility. At this point in a cycle, we're less than a year from a general election at the most. It is unprecedented for a Taoiseach to be appointed at this point in the cycle. And it is very precedented for cycles of 4 years to be can be considered an appropriate time to go to the people. And I think
Paul McAuliffe,
I think people will be very unforgiving if these parties put together another hobbly deal at the back of this.
With Fianna Fáil, are you comfortable with the idea of Fine Gael now getting to choose the Taoiseach of this country?
Absolutely. Matt talks about responsibility, but our responsibility as TDs is to elect a government for the term of the Oireachtas. And a lot of work went into the programme for government and the negotiations between three parties. It actually is provided for in the programme for government if this scenario happens.
But do you not think when the people voted for your party or for Fine Gael, that they vote on the basis of the leader that's in place? That's part of the deal. His face would have been put on the posters because when people voted
My experience not around doors is people raise issues with us and they want us to solve them. That's what they want us to focus on. Politics isn't about the game, it's about the work. And well, look, today it was a very personal decision by the Taoiseach. It was obviously decisions related to Fine Gael. Are you asking me what I preferred if today hadn't happened? I would prefer if today hadn't happened. But that's a matter for Fine Gael. What we need to do is get on with delivering the items are in the programme for government. I could list all of the things that we're working hard on and are delivering.
Do you think this is democratic?
Of course it's democratic. The current government received 51% of the electorate support. We formed a government for 5 years. We put in provisions for alternative arrangements if leadership's changed. The reality is... Are you honestly suggesting that a government that has a mandate should give up the last year and walk off the pitch and go back to the electorate and say, please give us another 5 years, even though we're giving
up
a year?
I mean, it's happened before, hasn't it, Fiona? I mean, not all governments serve full terms. I mean, Leo Varadkar was the one person, I think, who contributed to this idea that they might actually go early and not serve their full term.
But it would make the case very hard to seek another 5 years if you weren't prepared to serve out the term that you were given.
Well, maybe what you're saying is that
there's nothing difficult about actually asking people for a renewed mandate.
No, considering I'm not afraid of an election.
Considering that in 2020 your party leader was emphatic that a Fianna Fáil, Fianna Gael coalition would not arise.
You've walked away from forming government. You made no attempt to form a government. Opposition parties walked away from government. We took up the challenge and we've gone to serve our term. And that's what it's about. It's about building more houses. It's about making our health service better. And we are.
We are.
And I'm happy to have that debate with you.
Sorry, folks. Fionnuala, is this undemocratic?
Well, I know Matt and Sinn Féin have a difficulty understanding how political parties actually elect leaders, because they don't actually elect them at all, really. They just appoint them by men in grey suits. And they never seem to face any kind of... When was the last time you had a contest for your leadership?
Mary Lou McDonald was put forward. Other members were able to put their name forward.
When was the last time that the leadership of Sinn Féin was contested?
What I am saying to you is...
When was the last time the leadership of Sinn Féin was elected?
As our party leader.
When was the last time there was a contest?
But it is very telling that on a day where Fianna Gael and Fianna Fáil are trying to put together another cosy deal.
Let's let him respond.
Since the formation of your party, when was the last time they are denying the people the opportunity to elect a Taoiseach? Finn on the sides to have a go and pack a chin.
Is there an answer? Let him respond.
Mary Lou McDonald was elected leader of our party. And not only that, she is elected at every single contest
for the leadership of Sinn Féin.
Okay, we're not actually, in fairness, Fiona, we're not really here to talk about Sinn Féin.
When the government are under pressure, Fionn Fáil had decided to attack Sinn Féin. I'm raising the question. You're asking about democracy.
It is democratic that the Dáil decides who is in government. Now, within that organisation, there was quite possibly, in the early days of Fianna Fáil, we will easily remember, Paul, Micheál Martin's days were fairly rocky. There could have been a change at that point. Eamon Ryan actually did face a challenge even after they had agreed to go in. It could have been Catherine Martin who brought the party in. So the three parties went in on the basis that we're sticking through this term of government regardless of who was at the top here, and they were going to rotate. And that's kind of what's happened here now.
I think there's also a real politic about this, in that this is in the eye of the beholder to an extent, in terms of if you're a voter or somebody who observes politics, whether you believe this is democratic or not. And also, it suits the two coalition partners, Fianna Fáil and the Greens at the moment, not to face the people. If we were in a very different set of circumstances, where either of those parties are... Because I'm talking about in any government, not necessarily this one, in any coalition, there could be a scenario where the other parties in the coalition hypothetically could think, you know what, now is actually a good time to cut and run, and this is a really good excuse to do it. The other two parties don't want to do that at the moment. So they're being pragmatic.
You certainly wouldn't make yourself a reliable coalition partner in future governments if you were just going to cut and run when you thought it was cynically the best political
move. But
I'm saying there've been less reasons. There've been less reasons that have been gone on, if I can put it that way, in previous years.
Okay, Paul, do you want to just respond to that?
No, I agree with that. My perspective is that it's about governing. And if Fianna Fáil were to pull some stroke to try and get an electoral advantage...
And they would never do that.
It would be incredibly short-term, Keir, because you might do that in week one, but in week two, when you're talking about the achievements of government, the first question you would ask me is, well, why did you pull the government
down? Your poll numbers are really good at the moment, Paul.
Well, we have the most popular party leader in the country, and I think Micheál will poll well in the election.
I want to go back to Eimear. Eimear, do you want to see a leadership contest here?
I think a leadership contest would be really exciting for us in Fine Gael. I think it would be even better if we're united behind a single candidate.
So which would you prefer?
It would be interesting to see. I suppose it depends. We don't know yet who the runners and riders are. We don't know who's expressed interest. I understand that over the coming days, tonight our National Council is meeting to determine how the process will work,
okay, so just
what
to be
the
clear,
deadlines
sorry.
Will be.
Sorry to cut across you. Would you prefer to see a single candidate that everybody gets behind or a contest?
I don't know at this point. Today, really, for me, tonight isn't about speculation. Tonight is about what's happened today for us in Fine Gael.
But you only have a couple of weeks. It's a very short lead-in. Yeah,
correct. And tonight, our National Executive Council is meeting tonight to put together exactly that process and how it will run. And I think over the next, probably in the next day or two, we will have indications as to who may be interested in that position.
And do you have anybody in mind yourself? Anybody you'd like to support?
Well, I suppose the first thing I can do is rule myself out. I'm certainly not interested. But as I say, it's going to be interesting to see who the runners and riders are over the next couple of days.
Would it have been helpful, do you think, for the Fine Gael party if Leo Varadkar had done this a little bit earlier?
Well, listen, we are where we are and we can only deal with where we are at the moment. And I think, as I said, it's quite an exciting time for Fine Gael, the opportunity to get behind somebody different, the opportunity to renew, to refocus, to redouble our efforts.
And do you think you need
challenges.
To do that?
I think absolutely. It's always a good thing to be able to renew, to refocus and to redouble your efforts. That can be nothing but positive for society.
If Leo Varadkar was voted in because you were hoping that he would re-energise and refocus the party and broaden the base of the party, then in that aspect, he has failed.
I don't know that that's necessarily fair. He's done a huge amount for our party. He's done a huge amount for our country.
Has he broadened your base?
I think in many ways he has, but it's also time, I suppose, that we within Fine Gael take a look at what's most important to us, what's most important to our voters, and make sure that we're really making sure that we're on message for them too.
All right, let's go back down to Leinster House and join Claire Brock again.
Thanks, Ciara. I'm joined now by Green Party TD Mark O'Cahasy and Labour Deputy Eoin O'Riordan to get more reaction now. And I want to come to you first, Mark O'Cahasy, asking really what are Green colleagues saying behind the scenes about this surprise announcement by Leo Varadkar, him quitting the job, a move that will raise questions about stability within the coalition?
Yeah, well, I strongly feel that this project of government is bigger than any one individual, even as big a political figure as Leo Varadkar. So we still have the project of this government to carry out. We're very committed to that. I'm sure they will. It's one of the things we get to look forward in this democracy to, you know, a peaceful transition of power. And we don't have that in every country of the world. So we look forward to seeing who Fine Gael select as their coming leader. We'll be looking for a recommitment to the programme for government that we negotiated in 2020. And I think we'll carry on with the task of government from there.
Oh, clearly, though, this was totally unexpected. What we're seeing now is a third Taoiseach within this coalition. Surely that does lead to instability. You don't know who the next Taoiseach is going to be. You don't know how your party is going to work with that Taoiseach and then all the political goings on that come with that. So a change of cabinet, members of the cabinet and all the rest of it. It is something, or is it something, that your Green Party colleagues have, you know, concerns about tonight?
Well, we've talked it through already today. This is the reason you put so much groundwork into a programme for government, so that you have a project that's going to be able to last the course. Certainly we were all surprised by it. I think everybody throughout political life in Ireland was shocked and surprised by the announcement today. It was obviously a very closely guarded secret. But I'm quite confident that the programme for government that we've put in place will be able to withstand this test. Certainly it will put a stress on it, but I'm quite confident we'll be able to continue with the important work we have yet to do.
OK, Eoin, to come to you, Labour is saying there should be a general election now. It's the rally cry from everyone on the opposition benches. Why is that so important to Labour, given your own precarious poll rating?
Well, first of all, I just want to be, I suppose, maybe a human reaction to what happened today. Look, it's a difficult day for Leo Varadkar. He has had his successes as Taoiseach. Brexit will be one, steering the country through the pandemic will be another. So before we get into the hard-nosed politics on days like today, it's important to be at least be a little bit generous about his contribution to public life in Ireland. But we certainly would have had our difficulties with him when we served in government with him and since. Why do we want a general election? Well, it's quite clear that he has not been operating with full energy for the past period of time. It's been noticed, it's been noticeable. And even the government themselves have lost quite a number of people who are saying they're not going to run again, quite a number of resignations, particularly from Fine Gael, retirements, they're not going to stand again. So it's quite clear if he has lost energy for the project, if he is tired of the project, if he can't continue, but it's quite clear that the government can't continue either. And we feel now...
What Mark says, that it's, you know, the government is about more than one person.
I accept Mark has to say what Mark has to say, and they signed up for a programme for government, but you can only judge a government by what it projects to the people. It's quite clear that Fine Gael in particular are out of energy, out of ideas, and quite frankly need to go, and a new Fine Gael Taoiseach is not going to change the direction of this government. They have had successes. I've mentioned a few of them. I've tried to be as fair as possible, but it's quite clear that the homelessness issue, including the 4,100 children who are homeless, is not something that they have the capacity to change or to change their policy direction. So on that for those reasons, I feel it is time for the government to come to an end, and we can't go through the spectacle of electing a third Taoiseach in this one government.
Okay, Éan O'Riordan, Mark O'Cossey, thank you for joining me. Ciara, it's back to you in studio.
Thanks, Claire. Well, we're going to leave that discussion there for now. My thanks to Emer, Matt, Paul and Fionnuala. Alanson is going to be staying on with me. And after the break, Leo Varadkar's legacy. What will he be remembered for and who will replace him? Stay with us. Welcome back. Well, Sunday Times columnist Alison O'Connor is still with me, and I'm also joined now by DCU Professor of Politics Gary Murphy, political commentator Gerard Howlin, and Irish Daily Mirror political correspondent Louise Byrne for more on Leo Varadkar's legacy and who will replace him. And that's where I want to go to first, because there was, Louise, this meeting this evening amongst Fine Gael, the sort of emergency meeting. What did we learn about the process to replace Leo Varadkar?
So my understanding of it is it's going to be very similar to what you had in 2017 when Leo Varadkar was elected as Fine Gael leader, and of course he went up against Simon Coveney. So there's kind of this waiting system within Fine Gael, and if there's more than one contestant, the hustings will start next week, the votes will be the week after, and you'll have a new leader just after Easter. But what happens is there's votes, and depending on your ranking or your position in Fine Gael, your vote accounts for a different weight. So if you're a member of the parliamentary party, it's something like your vote counts for 65%. If you're a councillor, it's about 10%. And then everyone else, the general members, are about 25%. So I think that's really interesting, because even with Simon Coveney and Leo Varadkar, that contest in 2017, Simon Coveney actually ended up being more popular with the members, but Leo Varadkar was more popular with the parliamentary party. So that makes for an interesting dynamic. So my understanding, and I believe that meeting could be going on still, but my understanding is that those rules are going to be the same again. Now, that's in the instance that you have a contest. There's kind of two schools of thought on that as well. One group are saying, well, are we going to have a contest, or is it just going to be everyone rallying around the one candidate, or are you going to have more than one person actually announcing? So I think that's what's really we're going to be waiting for over the next 24, 48 hours.
Okay, and we do have a bit of a timeline now, don't we, Alison?
Yeah, just an email literally just in, where they're saying that the nominations will open tomorrow at 10 and that they'll close on Monday. And as Louise would say, it'll be six members of the parliamentary party needed to nominate. And members can vote from April 2nd to 4th, and then all the votes will be brought to Dublin, and you'll have the count on April 5th.
And then the Ardesh is April 6th, yeah, where the new leader will, yeah, make their speech.
It's curious, the dynamic, in that I've seen where a number of members of the parliamentary party are saying that a contest would be a good idea, as Emer said there, and yet if there is a momentum building behind Simon Harris, as there already appears to be one, and talk of a number of people even coming out to declare for him tomorrow, in that instance, if the other most likely being Pascal Donoghue, and we don't know whether he's interested or not, he's ruled himself out on previous occasions, I guess for it to be a credible contest, he would need to come out very strongly tomorrow as well. I think in looking at it from both point of views as the day has gone on, I think a contest would be good for the party, just even in terms of publicity and people talking about Fine Gael and the hustings and all of that over the next couple of weeks.
So they would be hoping perhaps for some sort of a bounce from that.
A bit of a dynamic, a bit of a momentum.
Exactly. Coming into the elections. Exactly. OK, so let's just talk about candidates, Guy Murphy. It seems at the minute the person who's possibly done the most work behind the scenes, the person who has been vying for this position for some time, is Simon Harris. Do you think the party will row in behind him? And by the party, I really do mean, I suppose, the senators and the TDs, because they ultimately have the say.
Yeah, and of course, it's a much smaller parliamentary party now, Ciara, than it was when Leo Varadkar won the leadership in 2017 after Fine Gael's rout in the 2020 general election. And Simon Harris, of course, was the one cabinet minister, or the one senior figure in Fine Gael who rode behind Simon Coveney. And the interesting thing about Leo Varadkar's election was that it really was all over within the first day, because going back to Louise's point, he had the, with the waiting, he had the support of the overwhelming majority of the parliamentary party. And Simon Coveney was left as a kind of a lost figure, appealing to the membership for the soul of the party, as I remember him saying. And no, maybe there was something in that. And Simon Coveney had his finger on the pulse of what Fine Gael as a wider movement wanted.
Because I think mean that by well, that? I think Leo Varadkar didn't have his finger on the pulse of the soul of the party wanted.
I do, yes. Frankly, to put it bluntly, I do. I think the evidence is there in the demise of Fine Gael electorally. Leo Varadkar lost 5 by-elections. He had a reasonable, well, he had a good European election, reasonable local elections, and a terrible general election. And what surprised me today, Ciara, was that, I mean, legacies are built around elections, and Leo Varadkar will only have fought one, which he will have lost. As Matt Carty said, now it ended up with Fine Gael back in power. And I'm somewhat surprised that he didn't face the electorate. But so maybe Simon Coveney was right. And I think there's a danger in Fine Gael that if they all get behind Simon Harris, you repeat what happened in 2017. I think a contest would actually be good. You mentioned Pascal Donoghue. Heather Humphreys is certainly worth thinking about. Maybe she represents the soul of the party. There is clearly an urban-rural split within Fine Gael. And then from maybe as an outsider, Jennifer Carl McNeill might consider putting her her hat into the ring. She's certainly
she didn't
not
rule herself out. She was on radio earlier
today.
No,
she didn't. And she's although she's a first-time TD, she you know better than anyone else. She's feisty on the media. She's not afraid of Sinn Féin. Neither is Simon Harris, to be fair. And Fine Gael needs someone to sell itself, and it also needs someone to say what the party means, because I think it lost its way under Leo Varadkar. No one knows what Fine Gael stands for now.
Is that... There was actually the question I was going to bring to you, Gerard Howland. He did say, you know, back in 2017 when he was on that, you know, election trail, I am going to be the, you know, leader of the party that represents people who get up in the morning. We'll never forget that particular phrase. Did he stray too far from that, do you
well,
think?
He abandoned it. I mean, it was a brilliant and correct analysis for him and for his party. It was correspondingly unpopular with people of a different outlook, but he abandoned it. The state under his leadership has grown from a $68 billion a year concern to being a $110 billion a year concern. He has delivered big government in this country on a scale that no left-wing party hoped to, let alone delivered on. He has completely changed, because of that scale of spending, of the expansion of the state, the entire paradigm of government. And that has been disastrous for him.
And he got no credit from it, from the left.
None. Unsurprisingly. You know? So the big spenders who demand more would never give him credit, because more was not enough. And in his actions, he completely undermined the narrative and the idiom of his own party.
So he
and
lost
of his own
his
start. He abandoned his position almost immediately, and he never got it back.
So if he did that, then is Simon Harris the person who is going to reassert Fine Gael as a true centre-right party, Alison?
Well, easier said than done when you're in a coalition. You know, in terms of, we saw what happened when the Fine Gael junior ministers came out last year in terms of tax, and then you have to turn around. I mean, this is one of the...
This was this article in the Irish Independent.
Exactly, when
three
they wrote
of them
the
came
op-ed.
Out and talked about these tax
cuts. That's one of Leo Varadkar's problems, in my mind over the last while, is that he overpromised. You know, he often said, we'll do X and Y. And then he faced the reality of a coalition government and that didn't then happen. But I mean, to pick up on the point that Gerard is making, I mean, you can absolutely say, I mean, he kicked off today his speech with all of the achievements of the government and as he saw it, Fine Gael's time in government. And you can say, I mean, unemployment is so low, our economy is booming. I mean, all of those things are an absolute thing to have on your CV when you're coming out of the office of Taoiseach. Yet, as was said earlier by Gary, he was elected to win seats for Fine Gael. I mean, at the time, at the risk of sounding hyperbolic, at the time people were talking about his rock star appeal. You know, that never came to pass. And at the moment, the times that we live in, I think, in terms of delivering more to the squeeze middle, all of that, we do not live in a time when people are really into showing any gratitude.
Politicians. I heard Aon say it there, but it was notable today. Yeah. I have to say that so few in opposition benches.
But you know what?
No, but even just to say,
just to finish, I think also after the results of the referendum, I could see what they were at as an opposition tactic. But after the results of the referendum, I'd say some of them were afraid to do kind of the decent thing and to show any favour towards the government, let alone towards the Taoiseach, even in wishing him well.
It didn't go down well, and it definitely didn't go unnoticed by people in Fine Gael and people actually in other government parties, where I was in the press gallery watching down on proceedings on leaders' questions earlier, and a few people texted me, you know, would it kill them to say even best wishes, best of luck, and that didn't go unnoticed, and it wasn't...
It probably would have killed them.
It
was a lack of civility today. And that is unfortunate. And Leo Varadkar, in my opinion, is a very nice guy. I think he's a very decent man.
And he did mention today in his speech,
yeah.
Politicians are human beings. It was a very, very notable line.
And it's getting...
And I've reached my limitations.
And there are not many young women or men of Leo Varadkar's calibre in their 20s coming into politics as he did years ago. And he has achievements, namely Brexit. And COVID and how those matters were handled. And they were very substantial.
He has the Eighth Amendment referendum. That was under a Fine Gael government. And maybe his career will be bookended by both referendums, that successful one and then the disaster of last Friday.
We're going to come to the feelings, because there were obviously feelings too. For you, are the society, are the wins, the sort of societal reform, COVID, Brexit, and... Would you give him even getting the economy back on track, or did you just inherit that?
No, I would give him that. And I would give Fine Gael credit, and maybe many in the party would be surprised to hear that. But like, the country was on its knees in 2011 when the last Taoiseach to resign in these type of circumstances, Brian Cowan, left. Country was like, we had lost our sovereignty. And we needed a troika bailout of 85 billion euro. Now, what did Fine Gael get any credit for getting rid of the troika? No. Look what happened in the 2016 general election, when Enda Kenny's party lost 26 seats, falling to 50 seats. And it's just continued to go downhill from there. I think certainly Brexit, but Fine Gael overplayed Brexit by basically campaigning in 2020 on re-elect us because we've done Brexit. And the public never really cared about Brexit.
Even though, would you say as a politician, he was quite wily when it came to Brexit?
I do think he was quite wily. And with Simon Coveney, I think they play, and maybe a more Republican hand than even Fianna Fáil might have played, because they did get the backs up of the DUP in particular. Sorry, Gerald.
It was his great moment. It will last forever, because the danger of what might have happened was truly horrible. And he preserved the integrity of Ireland as set out in the Good Friday Agreement for the future. And that is a lasting
achievement. And again, got no credit from the public.
Okay, look, we're going to stay with this discussion, perhaps look at some of the controversies of his tenureship after this break. So do stay with me. You're very welcome back. Well, my panel is still here with me. DCU Professor of Politics, Gary Murphy. Political commentator, Gerard Howlin. Irish Daily Mirror political correspondent, Louise Byrne. And Sunday Times columnist, Alison O'Connor. Thanks for staying with me. Louise, for Fine Gael and for Leo Varadkar, the failure, I suppose, to really turn the housing crisis around to a point where people feel like it has changed is probably the big black mark on their legacy, his legacy.
Absolutely. And I think you can have so many people going, you could in government saying, well, we're turning a corner, until people see that and until people feel that, they're not going to believe it. And
some individuals are,
But that general feeling is just not out there.
No, and until you get that, and when you're coming into an election, I mean, housing has been the story of the last 4 years of this government. We have a year left. Sinn Féin are really capitalising on housing. They have made that their thing. And that is what they are basing their next election campaign on. And I mean, when you look at the cost of rent, when you look at the cost of housing, which has stabilised a little bit, but not nearly enough for a lot of people to even dream about getting on the ladder. When you think about the number of people homeless, we have record numbers of homelessness. And that has been, you know, the kind of running story of Leo Varadkar's whole time as Taoiseach. You had, you know, all the controversies with Owen Murphy when he was housing minister. Now, I know there's Fianna Fáil housing minister for the last number of years, but he's still the Taoiseach. The book stops with him. And I think that is what has made a lot of people turn away from Fine Gael. And a lot of people my age, younger than me, even a little bit older than me, going, well, why would I vote for Fine Gael? They've been in power for the last 13 years and I am nowhere near owning a home. So I think that is a huge black mark. And I think that is going to be something that he is going to be associated with for a very long time.
And there were, to come to you, Gerard, there were other controversies, weren't they? Particularly around the leaking of that GP contract, which I think did stay with Fine Gael and damage Fine Gael and Leo Varadkar personally for quite a long time.
Yeah, so the Leo the Leak episode and the formation of that phrase, Leo the Leak,
which I think is still trending on
It was very damaging. Paradoxically, actually, it's impossible constitutionally for a Taoiseach to leak a cabinet document because as chairman of the cabinet, he's the arbiter of what is and is not secret. That beside the point. Leo rose to the top on the basis of being a straight talker. Now, significant episodes of his straight talking were very convenient for him and very damaging to some of his colleagues at the time. But that was the reputation he built. He'd say it regardless. And there was a real genuine element of that to his character. So when the Leo the Leak thing entered the public consciousness, it was really damaging because it went to the core of the perception of who he is, was, and how he relates to the people.
And what he sold himself as.
Precisely, yeah. It went to the character of the witness.
He wasn't in a lot of ways a conventional politician, was he? Considering he went so far. Like, he wasn't somebody who was comfortable with small talk. He wasn't good on the, you know, election trail. I doubt he went to, you know, numerous funerals. That's not the kind of character that he was.
No, he, in one way, it's a very private character. And unusual to see a private character do so well in public life. Gerard is right. I mean, the straight talking young buck, right wing neoliberal Thatcherite, as he had been accused of. He never governed like that. In many ways, he tried to be too much of a consensus builder. And in one way, it's a very sad day for him, I think, and for his family. One couldn't but have some thought when his voice broke in his speech. And
he didn't seem totally at peace with his decision in some ways.
Well, I think there's a humility there that maybe wasn't always apparent when he was a Taoiseach, because that humility, if you give up an office of Taoiseach, there's a bit of humility there, I think. Yeah.
Okay, look, we have to leave it there, but thank you to all my guests and to you at home for joining us. Our programme is available as a podcast on all major platforms, and you can find us on Instagram and TikTok tonight, the MTV. But from the late team here, take care.